The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
But what are some things I should be looking at if I'm a limited partner? I want to get into this passively, but I want to make sure the person who I'm investing in is legit.
Yeah. It's such a great question, and there is so much going on. And you know what, when you think about these things, whether it's more current times of the, especially in our community and people that are that we we're here in New York, and we know that there are some folks that we're like, oh man, how could this be? And then of course you go back even further, you think about Bernie Madoff and Ponzi schemes and all those different types of things. So who can I trust? How can I go ahead and invest my resources and make sure that I'm gonna get what I'm looking forward to. And what I tell people, outside of making sure that they know, like, and trust that individual, they really want to be focused on, are they investing with someone who has a track record? Is this someone who is just, the new person on the block? And there's nothing wrong with that. There, all of us have to start somewhere. But when you're investing with someone, you want to make sure that that individual or and their team has a track record of success. Have they done this before? Are these people that have lived and done what they're saying that they want to do? You want to make sure that, and often cases, some folks can go ahead and they can and request background checks on those individuals to be able to know that they are, investing in someone or something, trustworthy. I would say the most important thing that folks would want to be able to do is just to make sure that they are building a relationship with those operators, getting to know them, getting to know their track record, they can also, get in contact with some of the previous investors that have invested alongside of them as another model for them to focus on. When you look at those types of things, and thinking about, okay, this is someone who's laid out an opportunity for me, how do I go ahead and do my vetting process? Part of that vetting process could very well be, hey, do you have any references that you can provide me of previous investors, business partners that you've worked with to be able to check in on, and then finally, I would say being able to look at their when you're assessing their track record of their deals, being able to look at their performance. Did when they laid out that business plan and the pro forma for you as an investor, did they achieve that goal? If they didn't achieve that goal, what was it that maybe that made the deal fall short? There in this business, there's no one that's going to have a 100% success rate. Some may hit, or exceed expectations. Some may just meet expectations, which are very good things, but some may not. And you want to be able to make sure that you're understanding when you're talking to those individuals, getting to know them, that yes, they can lay those things out there, and you can have a good understanding of how they performed. What did they do when that environment sort of was crumbling around them? Did they do right by their investors, or did they maybe have a more selfish look at things? And then you can judge a lot from individuals like that.
Definitely, it makes a lot of sense. You mentioned. For track record, if I'm new, like brand new to real estate, how do I know that like the documentation I'm looking at is true? Like you were actually a general partner on this deal. you guys actually made this much money in return? Like, are there some steps I can, further steps I can take to like truly verify and know, like, I'm not looking at just something somebody made up?
Yeah. You know, I would say one of the things that one can do is they, and in addition to getting access to that information, if they want to go ahead and do some further due diligence, you know, they can check in with that operator and ask for some of those documents. Hey, show me some of the documents that they can actually generate from banks, from other documentation that are involved in these types of investments, so that they can legitimately be able to compare. I would say in some situations, some of that information may be private information that they mm-hmm. might not be able to disclose, but in most cases they will be able to show, you know, here is the asset. The records of the purchase and the sale of the asset are very clear. So when an operator is laying out, for example, their track record, they will show oftentimes we acquired the asset at, you know, $55,000 a door. And, you know, that equated to, you know, $15 million for that particular property. And when we sold it, we sold that asset for, you know, $62,000 a door. And I'm making up the numbers, but mm-hmm. then, and that equated to $20 million. So there, you can, in that information, the passive investor can see directly how the operator was able to perform and execute their business plan, where they started and where the exit occurred. And those are helpful things that they can be able to have to be able to see the information to be able to vet that a little bit closer.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad that you're encouraging people to do that, because that just makes sense.
Exactly.
It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. There's something you mentioned while you're talking that some people may not be familiar with, pro forma. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So in many of the real estate syndication assets, when there's a presentation of a deal that comes to you as a passive investor, there's going to be a lot of great information that's laid out there for you. Look, these presentations will lay out everything, and these presentations, by the way, I should make sure that everyone knows, their presentations are called, you know, either the operating memorandum, which lays out the entire business plan of what the operator is intending on doing to be able to execute the business plan to deliver on the returns that they're projecting to you. In that business plan will include, you know, details and bios on the operating team and other partners that are involved, things like the property management group, who the bank or the lender is that's involved in being able to help secure the financing on both the debt side of things, and then of course as the passive investors coming in for the equity component. But then they also go into many different details around, hey, what is the market like? What is the asset that we're acquiring? You know, is it a Class A asset? Is it mm-hmm. a Class B asset or somewhere in between? Or is it, you know, what other types of details are there? But also within that package is also a pro forma, and that pro forma will lay out all of the details from an economic standpoint around the property. What is the purchase price? What is the price per door? What is the amount of debt that we are getting from the bank? What are the equity? What are all the income items and all of the expense items? And then that all of that information is laid out, and that will then also be able to show what the performance returns are for the investor. So an investor coming in and investing a certain amount, what is the projected return over the course of the hold of that 3 to 5 years that they will be in that investment, from year one all the way to year five? What does it look like when there's an equity event? And the equity event is either a refinance or a sale. When will they see, you know, their capital back? All of that information is laid out in that pro forma, and it's just a projection. It doesn't mean that it's the gospel, if you will, of what is actually going to happen, but based off of the projections and the details that have been laid out, that this is the best projection that the operator can provide. And then once the deal is closed and we're actually operating it, then the reality starts to come together. And some things will make sure that that's on track exactly as the pro forma is laid out. And sometimes it may be ahead, it may be behind, but we try to make it, it's trying to be as close as possible so that it gives the passive investor a good picture of where that investment's going to be.
Definitely. I appreciate that. What, when you say class A, class B, because something that people probably have seen online is people are saying class this, class that when you're talking about like real estate. Can you explain what that means to somebody who just may never, maybe this is somebody's first time hearing class? What are you talking about? I'm done with school.
No investor left behind, right? So class A, if you think about it, think about when we were back in school, right? We had, you know, A was, you know, we were getting excellent grades, right? And then, you know, if you were on the D and F side, you weren't doing so good. And I like to tell people that essentially the quality of property is in the same line. An A class property is that luxury apartment complex in your neighborhood with all the amenities. It has the doorman. It has the fancy pool. It has all the concierge service and all of those things that are built in to that luxury A-class apartment complex. But then on the flip side of that, on the D and F side of things, those are the things that maybe aren't, it's not in the nicest area. It's typically an older asset. It's typically in an environment where it might be a little bit more crime ridden. You know, that's the type of asset. But then your B and your C class properties are those that workforce housing that are really provide and good new schools, good neighborhoods, you know, supplying great housing for those people that are living and working in the area to be able to, you know, take advantage of to raise their families. And these are great situations for people to be able to be in. And that's the type of housing that we focus on, really looking at a situation where folks are able to invest in or to live and work in a community that does right by them. And then also from an investment perspective, that it is a consistent demand for people that need that type of housing.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.